Hey, Michaela.
Yes.
You've worked in the media industry over the years.
Yes.
Radio stations, that sort of stuff. Have you ever secretly recorded a phone conversation or a meeting or anything like that?
No, but I was in a situation where a meeting I was in was recorded for the purpose of paying back live on air.
Ooh, cool.
Yes.
Like a pre-planned gotcha call.
Sort of thing. And however, being the spy that I am, realised what was going on and dobbed them in.
You snitched?
Yes, because it's disrespectful.
Wow.
It's against the law to put somebody to air without their permission if you're identifying them.
Oh.
So if they'd played that tape on air, it probably would be illegal without our permission.
You're a bit of a goody two-shoes, aren't you?
Well, I just don't want to ever be at work where I can't trust what I'm saying to not go across the airwaves.
They weren't trying to get you, though, were they?
No, but it was more look at it behind the scenes, stirring us kind of thing.
Ah, right.
You know.
Taking the mick kind of thing.
Yeah, and we'd bait. So it was deliberately trying to, but, you know. And so then they went to the general manager and there's this big thing. And so then they got, so it was a breakfast team.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got really smart and said, you know, if you're coming into this meeting, there's a chance it may be recorded. You know, they had to say that every time. And there were signs up everywhere of being smart asses that they were. But
Yeah, because I wonder sometimes, and I forget, when I call, call centres for customer service or whatever, and it always says, you know, this conversation may be recorded for monitoring and training purposes. And some of the dumb conversations I have with people, I think, I wonder if anybody listens to these and thinks, what is this guy on? You know, me making dad jokes.
I had another, actually, there was another one that they did. It was the big boss of the radio network was doing this special, and they rang me at my desk to tease me about something, and it went to air. And I didn't know, and I cracked the shins big time.
So there's you having a rant on air.
Yeah, and I never got promoted, as you can imagine. No, he was like way up the tree, you know. I should have just gone along with it, but I was so upset that someone would invade my privacy and put it on air.
And you missed out on a promotion because of
it. Yeah.
Nice work.
Welcome to the Tradies Business Show, helping you get off the tools and into true business ownership, so you can spend more time doing the things that matter most. Now, here are your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark.
So welcome to the Tradies Business Show. We don't generally secretly record conversations with people. Well, we haven't yet. I've thought about it a couple of times.
Well, yes, we have. We did that phone call one.
Oh, but we didn't. But we changed their names.
We didn't do any. Yeah, so we can't do that. You can't put someone to air with identifying information.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's probably not the best thing to do, but I didn't know it was actually a law against it.
Are you saying we've recorded all our conversations for the past 2 years, Warwick?
Maybe.
Hmm.
I might be keeping them for blackmail purposes.
I don't think I proved that gag reel that you put out for the 100th episode somehow.
But I laughed.
Glad you got enjoyment.
Well, today's guest was knowingly recorded, and it wasn't technically a guest. But what I did recently was I did a session with one of our listeners and Tradies Business Toolkit members. So Jen Carducci, and I hope I've said your name right, Jen, but Jen Carducci is a member of the Tradies Business Toolkit. She actually works with tradies as a bit of a consultant, I guess, a specialist consultant. And she had some questions about contracting, basically, and you know, subcontracting and those sorts of things, pricing and pricing models. And I thought it would be good, first of all, to answer a question by doing a session with her. And this is one of the things about being a Toolkit member, if I can do a quick plug, is Michaela and I will jump in and give you a hand with specific issues, you know, if we see an opportunity to help you out and also create a bit of content and help some other members, we'll do that. So basically did a Skype session with Jen, and I got her permission beforehand, so I didn't do it secretly.
And there was no extra cost for this one-on-one
this
consult.
This is
just saying it was all part of
membership,
it.
You know,
yep.
Like, and we chatted for over an hour. And my hourly rate, I think, is a little more than $22 an hour. So pretty good value. But basically, I recorded the session with Jen, and she was happy for us to put it to air because it was kind of cool, and we covered some ground. It was a bit of a casual business chat, so it's not structured as an interview, but we think you'll get some good value out of it. And if you're doing any contracting or if you're working with subbies in your trade business, then there's some good questions raised in this little session, a bit of a, I suppose, a consulting session with Jen, and we thought we'd share it with you. So have a listen. It's not too long, and yeah, we'd love to see you in the Tradies Business Toolkit as well. Of course, if you go to tradiesbusinessshow.com/toolkit, you'll find out what you get and what the investment is, but pretty easy to get your value back from it. So even if you don't get a hot seat session like Jen did, so hope you enjoy.
What's the challenge or the issue or the question that you want answered? Like, what is it that we're trying to...
All right. So I've got two clients. Both of them have an injury. I'm just going to work out. Yes, they're both injured to a point where they can't return to their normal work. They can't be on the tools. One of them hasn't worked on the tools for about 3 years, and he's been sort of managing some contractors in the background, but he's really let go a lot of work. And so what he's wanting to do is build the business back up and basically engage his contractors so that they can earn a profit share. He's going to retrain himself and do something else so that then he can still manage his business doing this other stuff, but he really needs the contractors to be running all the building jobs. He's a landscape designer. Okay. So he needs them on site. He will still have time to go in and basically, you know, communicate with the customer, do quotes, go on site and just make sure everything's set. But essentially, he just doesn't want to be on site. He's going to be off doing this other new part of the business that he's just about to get trained in on. Mm-hmm. And he really wants to, I mean, he's got a good group of contractors that he's been using for years. But what he wants to do is really, you know, have them on board and engaged and committed to him. And so he's wanting to explore whether a profit share type arrangement will work rather than just an hourly rate.
Yep.
The other guy, I've just got to remind myself, he has a fairly successful building business. Mm-hmm. He's got a young bloke. So the guy, my client, is probably around late 40s. He has been managing a team of contractors. They've got a turnover around $1 million a year. Mm-hmm. And from that, his margin has roughly been about 12% until now. Then he's injured himself and he can't do anything. So what that means is that any jobs that he's been getting, he's completely off the tools. He's making zero. In fact, I think he's losing money. But he's got a young bloke. He's about 26 and he sees a lot of promise in him. He's still got quite a long way to go in terms of, you know, really just setting up the benchmark in terms of his skills and experience. But my client's really willing to put in the training and to mentor him. And what he would like to do is offer this guy a position of responsibility so that he becomes the on-site project manager, a supervisor, and he engages him with a profit share sort of arrangement so that, you know, this guy, he's one of those young blokes that really is, he steps up, you know, if there's the ability and the, you know.
Yep. Yeah, cool.
The carrot.
That margin you said of 12%, that's net or gross margin?
Net.
Net margin. Okay, cool. Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad. But, I mean, that was That was however long ago before he injured.
Yep.
So he's obviously got a lot of experience. I mean, he's the potential is there. And he's another one. He still gets work come to him and he turns it down, although he has got in for a couple of big tenders. And if he gets them, he'll be flying, but he just needs to have a structure. So I'm just helping him sorting out his structure moving forward.
Yep. And so with both of those business owners, the two guys that, you know, they're looking to do a perhaps profit share type arrangement, they'd both be contractors, so they'd both be subbies essentially?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. That's cool.
I think so. You know, and I guess that's one of my questions, you know, I is there any other way?
Yep. Yep. So I've come across this a few times and there's probably a few possibilities. One that I've seen work pretty well is with those sorts of contractors, particularly the landscaping business, the construction is probably doable as well. And I've seen this done pretty well with painting, plastering, those sorts of jobs where the business owner is quoting a price to a client. So it's not a do and charge type scenario where it's, you know, however long it takes, that's how much we charge you. It's they go in, they assess the job, they do a quote, they present that to the client. The client says, yes, I'm happy to pay you $5,000 for that landscape. And off we go. So in that situation, what I've seen work well is with the contractor is we would potentially say to the subcontractor, to the contractor is, okay, here's a job. I'll pay you, let's say it's a $5,000 job that they won with a client. They might offer the contractor $4,000 or $4,500 or whatever to do the job. And so then it's up to the contractor to manage materials costs, his own time, but he knows with some certainty how much he's going to make from that job. So, you know, it's almost like he's running his own business, but he's being fed those fixed price jobs by your client.
Got it.
And then there's a margin in that for your client. So really he just becomes almost like a bit of a broker and obviously he's still a client relationship, so he needs to make enough out of that. But if you looked at that sort of a margin, you know, he's got next to no overheads potentially because contractor's carrying a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
And on that $5,000 job, if he can make a 20% margin on that, farm it out to the subby for $4,000 who reckons he can make, you know, his 10 or 15% net on that, they both kind of get the benefit of it. You just have to work through those numbers and figure out what's going to be reasonable and maybe do a comparison with what the subby would have gotten on an hourly rate. So that's one way I've seen work pretty well. And a painter, in fact, one of our listeners to the show, another member, has done that in the past of just he would go and quote a job and then he'd say to his contractor, right, this job here, I'll give you $2,500. Don't care how long it takes you. There's certain quality expectations in place. And then it's up to the subby if he wants to go like crazy and get it done quicker, still gets paid the same amount of money, or if he's on a bit of a go slow, it doesn't impact the business owner then. Because that's the challenge is if you're paying
it, people
tend not to work quite so efficiently and quickly. So that could be one possibility for both of those businesses, perhaps.
Yeah. Is there when you're doing some big quotes? I recall someone mentioning that that you can actually put like a supervisor's percentage or a project management percentage on top of a quote, which covers the cost of that person who's not actually on the tools.
Yeah, so it's just building that into the pricing, and so your clients would have to make sure they get their head around the fact that they are including a charge for themselves on that. I mean, you sort of run into some of the headspace issues around, oh, I'm too expensive, or clients won't pay for that, but But if it's just built into the price, then, yeah, they need to actually allow for themselves to make some money out of that job.
So you wouldn't put that as something separate. You wouldn't say, here's, you know, $10,000 for project management purely. You just sort of integrate it into other costs and bump them up a bit.
You could put it in separately. It just depends how you pitch that to the client or the prospective client. And I did work with a landscape company for a while where some clients chose to project manage some of the construction and other aspects of the job themselves. And so they would take that out. I mean, you have the challenge then that the jobs don't necessarily run as well.
Yeah.
So if you put it separately, then I guess you run the risk of a client saying, oh, so I could save myself 10 grand if I project manage the job myself.
Yeah.
A bit of a double-edged sword there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could also be an opportunity to upsell people and say, look, we can project manage the whole thing for you and coordinate the other contractors or the materials deliveries, blah, 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 make sure it all runs to schedule. And, you know, that's an additional 7.5 grand or 10 grand or whatever it is on the job. I'd probably be inclined just to factor that into the total price.
Yeah.
But still sell the value in the fact that, you know, for this $20,000 fee, it's to full completion, full project management of the job, you know, quality guarantee, all that sort of stuff. So it's just a package price.
Yeah.
So you don't run that risk of people trying to pull bits out of it to reduce their budget, and then it ends up becoming one of those nightmare jobs that, you know, the client ends up having to do it all so they protect their reputation and not get paid for it. So, that's something I'd be mindful of. But so that fixed rate with the contractors could be one path to go down. The other way is probably what you started with, which is, I guess, you might say an hourly rate perhaps capped at a certain number of hours. So, you know, again, human nature would probably say that the contractors might just let it blow out to exactly the cap so they get paid the maximum each time.
Yeah.
But the way to perhaps encourage efficiency is a little similar to having employees in a workshop or something where you get paid on productivity. So you would split the difference with them and say, look, I'll pay you an hourly rate up to this. Anything you save, like if you get the job done quicker than that, I'll kind of split the difference with you, so there's still a win in there.
Yeah.
And put in place a bit of a hybrid productivity bonus for them.
Well, that sounds good.
And then the third one is what you said originally, is just actually sharing the gross profit on that job. So if it's a $10,000 job and the business owner is paid that, to allow for say 2 grand, want to be more than that, but you know, say it's 30% gross profit, so $3,000 profit on the job. Say to the contractor, if you can bring it, you know, keep the materials on budget and the time on budget, same again, I'll share 20% of the gross margin on that job with you. And then a fixed rate so that they're not encouraged to blow their time out. So it's like I'll pay you $5,000 plus 30% of the gross profit on the job, based on materials costs and other contractor labour, you know, if they're using machine hire or some of those other subbies, plumbing or anything else, particularly in the landscaping business.
Yeah. All right. Good. You've given me something to work with there. That's great.
But it's fine.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah, go for it.
So before, when you asked me about whether the margin was 12%, whether that was net, I mean, I don't see that very often, because I think that's pretty good.
Yep.
Is that good? Like, what's generally what you aim for?
Oh, as much as possible.
But, yeah, obviously.
You know, typical sort of figures. Look, most of those trade or service type businesses are doing well if they're getting up into double figures. So around the 10% is about what we see. It doesn't mean that it's great. So anything over 10 as a basic benchmark is pretty good.
Yeah.
approaching 15 to 20% net margins is a healthy business. I mean, you look at any business, that's a pretty healthy business.
Yeah.
Particularly in that materials and labor type business. It's pure service based. Obviously, your margins are a lot better because you don't have all the cost of sales involved.
Yeah.
But yeah, 12's not bad. I mean, it's sustainable. But
I've got a few that are on 5. Is that bad?
Well, it depends on the sort of business, I guess. But if they're a smallish business running on 5% net margin, I mean, that's sailing pretty close to the wind.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It
doesn't take much of a shift in costs or a drop in revenue, and all of a sudden they can't cover their fixed overheads.
Yeah.
For a really big business, it's still pretty lean, but you know, you look at a business turning 5 or 10 million at a 5% net margin, and it's still a reasonably healthy monthly cash flow. But if it's a business doing 300 grand, I mean, they're barely making wages, so they're not even making wages, you know, 15 grand a year. It's not enough to justify running the business, really.
No, it's not.
But it also depends if that 5% net margin is after the owner has paid themselves a wage through the books. Okay, so that's the owner benefit, is that margin, and that's sort of needs some sort of remedial action around that. Some tough decisions perhaps about...
Yeah. I mean, you know, they pay their office expenses, the running of the vehicle, you know, they put what they can through the business, but really it's not much.
And that's where, like, sounds a bit harsh, but I would look at something like that and say, well, this isn't actually a business. This is more a part-time job if it is a smaller business. And then it just becomes a decision. Are they happy with that? Is that their goal? Or are they actually wanting to make a decent income and, you know, does it have growth potential? Can it be improved? Or is it actually time to make a decision about, you know, I'll just go and work for somebody else, get paid 3 times as much with none of the stress, well, less of the stress and none of the financial responsibility of being a primary contractor.
Yeah.
Tough choices.
Absolutely. All right. I think that's all I've got for now.
Well, I hope that was useful.
Yeah, it's good. Thanks.
Awesome. And, by all means, any other questions, just drop them in the group or, you know, we can do this and do another recording and turn you into a podcast.
Yeah, right. You're on.
Cool.
You've been listening to the Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark. Want to get off the tools and into true business ownership? Find out how at tradiesbusinessshow.com.